ever been on a pilgrimage? Have you ever been on a pilgrimage? A pilgrimage is different than a vacation, okay? A pilgrimage is an intentional spiritual journey of seeking God. A number of years ago, I had an opportunity to take a very unique literal pilgrimage. I was able to go for a couple of weeks over to Israel. It had been kind of something I had desired to do for years and was going to go a long time ago, and kind of stuff broke out in the Middle East that prevented all trips at that time, and so I had to put it on hold for a while. But I always had that desire, as many Christians do, kind of in the back of their minds, to maybe go to the place where Jesus lived in his earthly ministry, to see the place where Jesus preached and performed miracles and cast out demons, where Jesus hung out with sinners and tax collectors, where he called a group of disciples to follow him, where he declared to the people, to the world, that listen, there's another kingdom, my Father's kingdom, and I am here to bring it about. To see the place where Jesus was crucified, where he was raised again, where he appeared to his followers and promised to return. It was a unique experience to see those places with my own eyes. It was a pilgrimage to draw near to Christ. Well, I want to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me over the next several weeks. Not a physical pilgrimage. We're not going to jump on the plane and fly to Israel. But I want you to, in your hearts, in your minds, join me on a pilgrimage to draw near to God. Again, not so much a physical journey, but a journey of the heart and mind. And as we take that journey, we're gonna begin by seeing that part of that journey requires that we do a little self-examination. We got to prepare ourselves for that journey. And the Psalms are going to be our guide map for the journey that we're talking about, this pilgrimage. We know that the pilgrimage, the journey that God calls us on, there's only one pathway. There's only one way. You remember when Jesus was on this earth, one of the things that he taught very clearly, he said, listen, I am here to show you the way to God, the way to the Father. And one of his disciples, Thomas, said, wait a minute, we see you, but we don't see the Father. How are you going to show us the way to the Father? And Jesus, do you remember what he said? Very famous words. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the path. I am the way to the Father. And so the journey that we are to go on, this pilgrimage, is the way of Jesus. It is through Jesus. Eugene Peterson, one of my favorite writers, and actually one of his books kind of inspired this series, he calls the pilgrimage that Christians are to be on, listen to this phrase, a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. The path and the journey that God has called Christians to is to follow God, to follow the path of God obediently over the course of a long season of time. That is the spiritual journey. So, is that your life commitment? A long obedience to God in the same Godward direction. Well, I want to call you to the Psalms. Just a few kind of background reminders about what the book of Psalms, that's an Old Testament collection of really songs They are songs that followers of God in the Old Testament wrote. And those songs really were prayers. They were prayer songs. The Jews of the Old Testament referred to the Psalms, the book of Psalms, as their hymn book. And every prayer, every song that was written in the form of, as a prayer. And it was written right in the middle, if you read the Psalms, in the middle of real life situations. People who wrote the Psalms, they wrote about faith, they wrote about hope, they wrote about their fears, they wrote about things that they were confused about. God, I thought things were going to go this way, and they're not, they're going this way. They wrote about their disillusionments at times. Sometimes the Psalms, you read the Psalms and there's deep lament. People are mourning and grieving over bad things that have happened. And they're just songs that have been turned in to prayers. And for many, many years, Christians all through the centuries have used the Psalms as their prayer book, as their guide to prayer. But unfortunately, in recent decades, we've kind of lost that. I mean, how many of you have taken time to go to the Psalms as a source of guiding your prayer lives? That is the gift that God has given us with the book of Psalms. I have a friend that's been going through some very deep, troubled waters in the last year. And one of the things he shared with me recently was, Pastor Mike, the Psalms have come alive to me in the midst of my grieving, in the midst of my trying to figure out the confusing things, the painful things of life. I find myself going to the Psalms and actually praying them back to the Father. And that's what I want to help us do, rediscover the Psalms. We're going to be looking at a particular section of Psalms, Psalm 120 to about 134, and that section of the Psalms are actually referred to commonly as the Pilgrim Songs, or the Psalms of Ascent. Now here's the background of this little section of the Psalms. Three times a year, back in the Old Testament, when they were in the land of Israel, the chosen people, the people of Israel, would three times a year stop what they were doing, put aside their jobs, put aside all their family stuff, and they would make a pilgrimage or a journey back to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was at the highest point of the area. So whenever anybody left the neighboring countries and communities for these pilgrimages, they would go up. That's why they're called the Psalms of Ascent. And these are the psalms that the people would sing together and to themselves as they would do this journey, this pilgrimage to Jerusalem for these special festivals that God had set apart. He says, three times a year, I want you all to come together around me to worship me, to remember me, to renew your faith in me, to get your eyes back on me. That's the purpose for these. Now, what was in Jerusalem in the Old Testament? What was the centerpiece of worship in the Old Testament? The temple. And God dwelt, God lived in the temple. And so people would come to Jerusalem for these festivals, and they would bring their sacrifices, and they would worship God and draw near to God at the temple. This is one of the reasons why we don't need to make a physical trip to Israel, to Jerusalem, because where's the temple now? Right here. God says through Jesus Christ, I live not in Jerusalem in a temple. I indwell your being, your body. And so now the journey, you might say, is an inward journey. It's a journey of the heart. And so these Israelites would journey to Jerusalem and to the temple. And these songs in this section, these psalms would prepare their hearts for meeting with God. And we're going to discover in these psalms that these psalms cause them to deal with the real issues of life that were keeping them from God. And they would bring these out and they would confess them on their way to Jerusalem. Now these people, these Israelites, not everybody lived in Jerusalem. That was kind of the capital city. And that was the place where worship centered in the Old Testament. But most of the Jews lived out and away. Maybe a few miles away in neighboring villages. Maybe several hundred miles away in neighboring nations. And for these three festivals, now they couldn't just hop on the in the plane or in the car. It was a long pilgrimage, a journey, a walk to Jerusalem to come to the presence of God. Now, the people, here's what we have to begin to understand when we come into Psalm 120 that we're going to look at briefly this morning. The first movement of our pilgrimage, the first movement of their pilgrimage, listen to this, was a movement away from the world that they were living in. They had to kind of get away from all of the things that were distracting them from God and the world that they lived in as they began to move toward God and draw near to God. In fact, let's start by looking at Psalm 120, and we'll look at verse 2, where the psalmist cries out and sings out, "God, deliver me from the liars. They smile so sweetly, but lie through their teeth." So the first thing the psalmist says as he begins his journey to God is, first thing you need to do, God, if I'm going to get right with you and get my heart right with you and get my life in alignment with you, you've got to deliver me from the lies of the world. Because I've been living in the world, I've been living in the middle away from you, and man, I don't get any encouragement at all in the world that I live in to follow you, God. I don't get any encouragement. The world has a totally different message for me, and I need you to deliver me from that. That's the first movement of our journey, is to say, God, deliver me from the lies of the world. That's what he says there. Notice the urgency, calling out for God to deliver, for God's deliverance. It's as if the psalmist is saying, God, if I'm truly going to worship you and to move towards you over there, up there in Jerusalem, I have to be delivered from all of this in the world that entraps me. If I want to live, God, according to your truth, I need to be set free from the deceitful lies of the world. Friends, this may be why some of us have not made much progress in the spiritual life. Because we've never asked God, we've never gotten serious about, God, I need your deliverance from the things of this world. Keeps me too distracted, keeps me too deceived. I need your truth. We see the psalmist in the next few verses addressing these liars of the world, almost like he's lifting them up before God in prayer. Verses 3 and 4, he says, "Do you know what's next?" He's talking to these liars, these bold-faced liars. "Can you see what's coming, all you barefaced liars? Pointed arrows and burning coals will be your reward." It's almost like the psalmist is saying, listen, you speakers of these lies from the world, you are going to face God's judgment. That's what the burning coals and the pointed arrows, it's just a poetic way of saying, you are going to face judgment. And then he moves on. And we see the pilgrim, this psalm writer, agonizing as he acknowledges the present reality that he's living in, that he's trying to get away from. He says in verse 5 and 6, I'm doomed to live in Meshech, cursed with a home in Kedar. My whole life lived camping among quarreling neighbors. I was just talking to Claude and Bonnie. They just went on a camping trip last week, and they said they had quarreling neighbors on the campground. They weren't very easy to get along with. They were a pain in the rear end. Well, they got to leave after a couple days, right? You didn't have to stay there. Well, see, what the psalmist is saying is, I live in the middle of people that just are full of strife and lying, and they don't get along, and they try to pull me down, and I have to live in the middle of it. And so now, for this pilgrimage, I'm leaving that behind, and I'm moving towards you, God. Kind of an interesting picture. So I want to ask you this morning as we kind of proceed, are you getting tired of the lies of the world? The psalmist is saying, listen, this is overwhelming to me. I got to leave this behind, God, as I move toward you. Are you getting tired of the lies of the world? It's full of lies. And it all is done with a smiling face, as it said in that earlier passage. The world tells us a lot of lies. Listen to me. The world tells us human beings are basically good. Hey, we're all right. You're okay. When the scripture says, what? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The world would have a person go their whole life believing they're okay before God on their own merit. It's a lie. The world tells us if you just behave yourself and do the right thing, everything's just going to be okay. Everything's going to run smoothly. The scripture tells us in this world, Jesus told us, in this world, you will have trouble. We live in a fallen world. The world tells us you have all the time in the world to get right with God. But scripture tells us life is a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow, you don't have all the time in the world. The world tells us, do whatever you want, live however you want to live. There are no consequences for sin. The serpent said to Adam and Eve, you will not surely die. But the scripture says you will, spiritually. The world says, do whatever you want and it won't affect anybody else. Are you trying to say I'm hot and sweaty? Sorry. Live however you want, and it won't affect anybody else. Your sin doesn't affect anybody else. And we live that way. We live under the lies. Think about all the lies that the world sends us. The whole entertainment world, which, to be honest, we all spend a lot of time watching and listening. And they claim to know what I need, and they set me down a path that is opposite of what God would have for me. Think of the world of politics. I mean, we're in that season, right? Man, I hate this season. Don't you? I mean, I'm already sick and tired of it. But there's the political world promising us political answers to moral problems, and they can never ever deliver. Because the root problem is greed and selfishness. And the world is speaking its lies. Sometimes it even comes within the church. I turn on the television and I hear preachers saying, if you just have enough faith, you can be wealthy and God will cure all your diseases and you can have it all. And they're just the lies of the world. The world tries to tell you what the meaning of life is, and they omit God. And they omit your desperate need for Christ, that you were made for a relationship with God through Christ. They don't even speak about that because they're speaking lies. So let me ask you a question, just a few things in your bulletin, just in the next few minutes here. That first blank, are you sick and tired of the world's lies yet? Because you, this is why we got to start here. Because you will not meaningfully move toward God on this spiritual journey until you are ready to be done with the lies of the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't just be all attached to all these deceptive things and be moving toward God at the same time. So the psalmist on his pilgrimage just calls us to follow him and say, listen, it's time to put that stuff away. God, I need your deliverance from the deceptions of the world. So I want you to ask yourself this morning for God to search your heart and say, God, where does the world have its grip on me? Where am I believing things that the world says is true, but you say are not true? And I don't even have time to cover it all this morning, but I believe that if you will seek God and say, God, show me where I'm believing the lies of the world, He will reveal that to you. That's the first thing you need to do. Listen to what 1 John says. This is the New Testament kind of version of this. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, and then he gives a list, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting about what he has and does, that kind of stuff, it doesn't come from the Father, but from the world. Now, we're talking about a different definition of world than what we just sang about. This is my Father's world. That's speaking of the world as the place that God created and that He indwells. But when the Bible uses the term world like it does in 1 John, it's actually talking about the part that Satan is over, the Satan-controlled part of the world. And it's talking about the sinfulness in our hearts that doesn't seek after God, but lusts after other things and craves other things other than God. And so John admonishes, don't fall in love with the things of the world. Now we see in this psalm, finally, most of the language, most of the lines in this psalm are about this movement away from the world and asking God for deliverance. But there's one small line in verse 7 that gives a positive direction. And he says, I on my journey, I'm all for peace. In the NIV, it says, I am a man of peace. I don't want the distress of the world. I don't want the things of the world to hold me. I want the peace of God, is what the psalmist is saying. I want to move away from the world, in other words, and I want to move toward the peace of God. I wish I could make that more attractive to you. Does that sound attractive to you this morning? That I want to move away from the entanglements of this world, and I want to move towards your peace. That's the direction of our journey. The second blank there, God has called us to peace and to be peacemakers. How do we experience peace in our journey toward God? Isaiah 26 gives us a hint. He says to the people, God, you will keep in perfect peace the person whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. The pathway to peace with God is faith. It is when I go through distresses in life, when I go through and life isn't happening the way that I want it to happen, and I'm going through a struggle, God is saying, will you put your trust in me? Will you depend upon me? Will you believe and continue to believe that through it all, I am in charge and I have your life in my hand and I'm guiding you and I'm leading you and you can trust me. And as you trust me with the things going on in your life, I will give you perfect peace. Peace that Philippians says transcends all understanding. What you get from the world is anxiety and stress and deception. And God says, I want to exchange all of that for my peace. That's what this journey is about, God's peace. How do we get there? The final point this morning is the decision of repentance. The decision of repentance. How do you move from the world towards God's peace? It's the decision of repentance. And that's how the psalm actually starts. I skipped over the first couple of verses and now I want to come back to them, especially to verse 1. He starts out, he says, I call on the Lord in my distress, in all this worldliness that's got me entangled. I call on the Lord and what happens? He answers me. Save me, O Lord, from the lying lips and the deceitful tongue. I call upon the Lord. This is a picture of repentant prayer. This is a picture of a person who's saying, listen, I'm tired of the entanglements of the world. I want God. I'm ready to seek God. And so I turn it into a prayer of repentance and faith. God, take me away from this. Deliver me from this. And God, I seek you. Right in the middle of all of it. Repentance is a realization that what God wants for you and what you want from God, they're not going to be achieved by doing the same old thing the same old way. It's a decision to follow Jesus Christ and to become His pilgrim and to seek Him and to follow Him. It's almost like you got two voices that are speaking to you this morning. God's voice is saying, leave the world behind and move toward me, come toward me. And the world is saying, no, 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 I've got the truth, follow me. There's a story that kind of captured this a number of years ago in the Ukraine. They were having their elections, just like we're in our election season. And a guy named Viktor Yushchenko was the people's favorite. And everybody thought he was a shoo-in to win the election. And right at the critical moment, right at the end, when he thought it was going to be his victory speech, the powers that be in government did a deception and fixed the system. And on all the newscasts, they were proclaiming that he actually had lost when he thought he had won. And down in the corner, there was a little box with the gal doing sign language to the deaf. And as the talking heads were proclaiming that Yushchenko had lost, the little person doing the sign language says, they're lying to you. He really won the election and gave the true information. And it started what was, and it caught wind. Of course, the average person like me watching would have no idea because I don't speak that language. But the deaf people that were watching all kind of, it sparked something. And the word got out and people started texting and calling. And it started what is now known as the Orange Revolution, where we're starting with that one thing. the people rallied together, and there was kind of a scene. And in the end, the government was forced to admit their lies, and Yushchenko came in to leadership. And when we go through life, here it is. The world, it's on the big screen, right? And it's telling you it's lies, and we're watching and we're following along. But down in the little corner, Jesus is telling you the truth. And we've got to stop watching the big screen. And we've got to look at what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, listen, don't follow those lies. Don't believe it. Come to me for life and for peace. And what I'm trying to communicate this morning is, friends, it's our choice. Will you detangle yourself? Will you ask God to deliver you from the things of this world that has got you right now in its grasp? And will you say, God, I want to cut ties with that. I want to be done with that. And God, I want to move toward you on this journey. I want to move toward you and experience your peace and your love and your deliverance. So as I close this morning, let me just ask you, where do you need to move away from the lies of the world? You personally, where do you need to move away from the lies of the world? Where does it got you in its grip? Where does the enemy have you in its grip? And where do you desire in your life to experience this peace of God, this truth of God? That's your spiritual journey. That's the first leg of this pilgrimage into the heart of God. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, you created us to live our lives deeply connected to you. And yet we live in this world that hates you. We live in this world that is anti-God. And yet we live right in the middle of it. Just like the pilgrims there in Psalm 120, they lived in the middle of the world, and they had to get away from it as they moved toward you. And that we need the same thing, God. We need to repent of those areas where we're in the world, where we're deceived. And we need to move toward your peace and your presence. And so, God, help us to see Jesus down in the corner of the screen, signaling the truth. I love you. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is in me alone that you will find salvation. It is in me alone that you will find meaning in life. You will find your purpose in life. It is in me alone that you will find your true identity as a child of God. It is in me alone that you will be able to experience spiritual strength for the journey. It is in me alone that you will find life and peace. Peace that transcends understanding. Come to me for life, Jesus says. Draw near to me. So friends, let's take that step of that journey. Pray for deliverance from the things where the world has got you in its grip. Say, God, I need your help. I need your truth. And then move towards God and seek him with all of your heart. Lord, we love you and we seek you this morning. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.